Well, thank you for those words. Tonight I want to do a sharing on a balanced life. You think about like a teeter-totter or something. And our life, we're called to live a balanced life because we'll go through some of the scriptures. It says, worry not for tomorrow shall worry for itself. Any vagrant can do that. They don't think about it. They only think about it, you know, 8 hours later. But it also is going to say be diligent and work. So how could you work and work your tail off and be a good steward but not stress out? And it's a balance. And so and then how do you get all this stuff? Our Father's called us, even Adam and Eve back in the Garden of Eden, He put them in a position where they're dependent upon Him. It is, as images of Elohim, we're little Elohims, and we don't want to be dependent on anything, but He specifically asks us to do things that we can't do without Him, like a good father does. Dad, will you help me with this? It's about time. Time me. Here it comes in. And with Adam and Eve, it would have been the same thing. And in our life, how do we have a balanced life, and how do we do this? It's kind of a rhetorical question. It's about you, the scriptures, we'll look over that first, and then it's about being with Him, meditating. And if you don't know the scriptures, you don't know how to hear from them, so you gotta start there, but then go and check in with them. Relax! Philistines are right there! Yeah, relax! Okay, and as we're going into this, before we go into some scriptures, I was recently on a plane heading west from, where was I? Copenhagen. And I was on this really nice jet going west. It's like 500 or 600 miles an hour. And as I look down at my watch, there's so much sunlight still coming up, and I'm like, how can the sun still be out? The sun should be setting because it's about almost, Iceland's a little bit farther north, but it was like almost 8 o'clock or something, and the sun's still up. And I'm just, you ever notice that you're just kind of, something's different, you can't figure it out? Look at, it's almost 8 o'clock at least. We're driving into the sunset. The speed was actually sustaining a sunset. Would it ever catch up? No, I don't, I'd be interested to see how fast would you have to go to actually never have a sunset?
1,000 miles an hour?
Okay, Maestro just said you have to, your velocity would have to be 1,000 miles an hour to keep a sunset. I did not know that. Out of that came a wonderful teaching for me. As a single guy looking for my wife, my Hadassah, I'll see different things, and our Father was teaching me, don't waste your life chasing sunsets. What does that even mean, chasing a sunset? Aaron, why don't you chase sunsets? Well, because there'll be another one tomorrow. That's right. And so in our lives, whatever the missing thing is in your life, whether it's work, whatever your big desire, me as a single guy, obviously having a wife and a family is one of these things. You go, is it now? Is it now? When is it going to be? When is it going to be? But he's explaining to me, if you just sit there and watch a sunset and just enjoy it and have enough faith that I'll give you another one tomorrow, then it could be the same thing applied to your wife or your business or whatever. That's faith. That's balance. Do you have enough faith in me to paint another sunset? And as I was chasing a sunset, it was being sustained. It's the first time I ever got to be, so it was just kind of a neat analogy.
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 12. Because I would never try to chase a sunset. That's ridiculous. There'll be another one tomorrow. So will the manna be there tomorrow if you're obedient. So will your housing. He'll meet all your needs if you're being obedient. If you're being obedient, it'll be there.
Hebrews 12.
And one of the things that, as we go into this, I'll try to stay on point, is I think back to the 40 years in the wilderness where a father produced manna every single day. How many people were stressed out wondering if Yahweh would do it one more day? He did it. He did it 15 years, but seriously, can he do it another day? And we would think, well, they wouldn't have done it all. That's ridiculous. This is a wicked generation. They were dying off. How many of them were stressing out about tomorrow's manna? That is so stupid. Are you stressed out about tomorrow's manna? Your investments, your income, or whatever it is? It might not be financial. It could be relationships. How do we have that balance? And so hopefully what we're looking at today is going to hopefully shed some light and it's going to help you guys Take a deep breath, and how do you have balance with it? And in order to look at balance of what is required, let's look at the author of our faith. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2, please. Therefore, indeed, seeing that we also have encircling us so great a cloud of witness, stripping off every encumbrance and easily entangling sin, with endurance let us be running the race that is lying before us, looking away unto our faith's princely leader and perfecter, Yehoshua, who, in consideration of the joy lying before him, endured a cross, shame despising, and on the right hand of the throne of Yahweh has taken his seat. This is a summation of what we've been called to do. Because how did he endure all that? He was thinking about tomorrow, but he wasn't stressing about tomorrow.
Yeah.
There's a big difference when you're thinking the next day. There's a difference between you being a good steward and now you are irritating your father. You brought it up again. Or it's stinking thinking. And one of the ways that, at least with me, how I know if it's being profitable or not, is when I'm shaking. Yahweh got a prophecy at work, and don't make your decisions in peace with Yahweh. Yahweh and Christ are in peace. And if you're not peaceful, find a way to get peaceful so you can hear from him. But here, how did he endure the death of the cross, the shame despising? Because he was going to sit at his father's right hand. And he was going to get to build the temple like Solomon. But this is in the book of Revelation, the real temple. Not Solomon's would have been like the, what do you call it, a little prototype, the little model. Look at this! Yeah, it's nice, but it's just, that's not the one we're really excited about. The real one Christ is going to get to do. And Christ, he endured all that. Now, let's just take an example of this balance. Tim did a teaching once, and he said, we're not anxious about yesterday. We're not anxious about the past. We're stressed out and anxious about tomorrow. Especially if you're a good steward. If you're a lazy person, somebody will bail me out. I'll sleep on somebody's couch. I just gotta say I'm a victim. Okay, for good stewards, it's not easy to be balanced. But our Lord and our Savior was washing his disciples' feet hours before he was tortured to death in front of his mom. His mom would be there. Did his disciples go, "Holy cow, dude, you look really stressed. What's up?" Can you guys, my loved ones going to look at me and go, "Something's not right. Look at his face." I can look at my loved ones going, "You don't seem right. Everything okay?" The disciples, when Christ was washing their feet, they didn't know that he was getting ready to die the death. Christ was able to obey and wash their feet hours before tortured to death, and nobody knew. Except him and our Father, maybe the messengers. How did he do that? Because when he did think about tomorrow, he captivated his thinking. Stinking thinking all this. No. What is profitable? What is going to get me from A to B? Let's get seated at the right hand. You can imagine Yehoshua going, "My mom's going to get to see me seated at the right hand. I'm going to get to wake up my mom. Oh man, I can't wait to see that." Because my mom's never, you can imagine he's a illegitimate child. And you can imagine the things people making fun of him. So he's not blending in. Is it popular to not blend in? You're a teenager, right? Do you think Yehoshua would blend in? No. He would have been peculiar his whole life because we're calling him peculiar. He's not blending in. You're a nerd. Or whatever people might say. But here he is. What was he doing? Washing their feet. How can he do it? And you and I can do the same thing if we learn from his example. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. So it's important that we let scriptures interpret scriptures. It does say this, and it says this. If somebody would read 31, 33, and 34.
Do not then be anxious, saying, "What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be arrayed? For all these things the nations seek after, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you are needing all these things. But be seeking first the rule or the kingdom and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
I had a friend in high school, his name was George Jackson. Unfortunately, his mom said, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. But she didn't do anything. She would apply this scripture, but she wouldn't work. And I don't know this firsthand. But my friend George was kind of adopted by my other friends. And whenever George didn't have money for clothes or stuff in high school, they'd call his mom. She had a decent job at Coleman. She must have had a spending problem. And they go, he doesn't have shoes. Oh, the Lord will provide. Do you think Yahweh was honored with that? No. You're supposed to work, woman. Just your child. And this is your example for your kid. And so don't be anxious for tomorrow. Tomorrow shall be anxious for itself. Sufficient is that what? The evil thereof. Ooh, okay. But then we go to Galatians 6:9. And I can just tell you guys it for brevity's sake. Galatians 6:9 would be a good footnote. It says, Yahweh's not mocked. That what you sow, you reap. That's good news for the people that are sowing. If you're sowing wickedness, it's bad news. If you're Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, that scripture is going to give you nightmares. If you're an obedient, righteous believer, then that is what you hold on to. So you're supposed to be working your tail off, man. There's a lot of work to do. This life is a job interview. But don't stress out about it. Don't stress out about it. Look at it. And here's our Lord and our Savior. Here's the disciples going, we're being squished by a mob. You say, who touched me? Peter, you got to relax. Relax? I'm supposed to be catching fish. I'm on a vacation. My wife's going to kill me. Here these things are. And how do we do it? I don't know. We don't necessarily know, but I think you guys know. I think all of us know. Christ is inside us teaching in our own lives where we're stressed out or anxious. But wait a minute. Are you sowing? I am sowing. You're stressing out about tomorrow. But faith would say if you've sown, then tomorrow's a harvest. Right? Because the scriptures also say that he knows, he feeds the birds. He knows the hairs on your head if you're doing his will. And then we come back and our Lord and our Savior, he had flesh and he had to go through everything that we went through with a few exceptions. Did he have to wrestle with some of this stuff? He's a genius. And when those things would come in, I reject that. And so my parents are good at that. Stinking thinking is going to come in. Oh, but a therapist would say, let's interview this. No, when a rapist comes in my house, I don't interview him. I shoot them or I kick them out. When you get stinking thinking, you rebuke it in the name of Christ Jesus. And the love of God thinketh no evil, not in this house. Where did that come from? And you get rid of it and you clean it and you clean it, clean it up. And they go, why am I stressed out about tomorrow? And in my case, well, God, I just need a wife. I just want a companion. Are you sowing? Yeah? Then what are you stressing out about? You should be an example. You should be balanced. And that is faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing. And in our own life, how can you be balanced? And that's where you just take a step back. James chapter 4, verse 14. Because all of us know somebody that was negligent. Oh, just relax, it'll work out. And we look at them for the diligent, and you want to shake them because they don't do anything. But then we got to go, actually, they're a counterfeit of what I could be. Yeah. There are bums. Dude, chill, man, it's going to be all right. You know, here's some guy that doesn't work, and he's on unemployment. But they're a counterfeit, but I could be that same way. I could. Our fathers tell me I could do it. And that is the mark. Sinning is just missing the mark. How close are we getting to the bullseye? My brother is an expert marksman. And he would teach, he goes, dude, you gotta focus. You gotta practice. You gotta aim. You gotta see where I was trying to shoot a deer 300 yards. You just aim 18 inches above its back. I'm like, the deer is this big. What is 18 inches? And he's like, haven't you even thought about this? A deer is 5 feet tall. This guy had already done all the computations. And that is faith. That is somebody that is ready to not miss the mark. Are we doing that? James chapter 4, verse 14. Somebody read that.
James 4, 14.
Men who are not vexed, men who are not versed in the morrow, of what sort your life will be. For you are a vapor, for a little appearing, then just disappearing.
It's going to be over. Just like that. Wait a minute. It can't be over. I haven't got that Corvette yet. I haven't retired yet. So where are your treasures? Where are your treasures? And in my own case, Aaron, you're not even going to be married at the resurrection. Yeah, okay, all right. Where's your hope? But just like this, it's going to be over. Does anybody know 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52 by heart? In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, it's going to be a shout. You know, Jesus Christ, on the day of shouting, there's shouts. There's actually, they call it a feast of trumpets. It used to be a day of shouting. They would go out and shout. And Christ was born on a day of shouting. And that was a bit of a Tishri 1, right? Is it Tishri 1? Mm-hmm. And so here it was, he was born, and even when Christ was born, the obedient Jews would have went out and shout a Happy New Year's or something. I've never actually seen it. But it says, on 1 Corinthians 15:52, it says, in a moment, there's going to be a shout. It's all over. In a moment, Adam, it's gone. Everything's gone. And then we're going to be reaping in all that we've sown. So all this is going to be gone. Well, wait a minute. Then we go back to Matthew chapter 6. It says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy rule come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day tomorrow's bread.
No. No.
Bread today. And when we're stressed out about bread tomorrow, whether it's income or retirement, these other things, you still got to be a good steward. And if you have a spending problem, he's not mocked. He's going to catch up. But if you start showing repentance and say, I'm working on it, then he'll work with you, right? But otherwise, our daily bread. Live in the moment. In a moment, there's going to be a shout. It's all going to be over. But in the meantime, are you sowing? Are you reaping? And then then this is the balance. How do you do that? That is the beauty of it. Because we get to be the image of Christ when we do get those things right. And maybe we get them right every once in a while. But every once in a while, we're going through the eye of the storm. And people look at you and they go, you're going to lose everything. What is wrong with you? And you're like, I'm peaceful. I think I'll be okay. And they're looking going, you can't do that. And you're like, you're right. To a human, to a son of Adam, you can't do that. But I am a son of Elohim. And that's what we were supposed to be. The little miniature gods, Elohims, on this earth, being representatives, giving people a choice to say, you don't have to live on this decomposing earth that's being washed away. And we're supposed to be the advertisement like Jesus Christ was. Can you imagine the disciples after watching him tortured in the resurrection? Here's Peter and them just sitting back after Pentecost. And here's James and John and they're just talking. All of a sudden they're reflecting him washing their feet before he was tortured. How did he do that, James? I don't know, man. But he's the example. And we could be the example also. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. And we were watching a basketball game the other day, and the commentators, Dick Vitale, he talked about KU, and he goes, what makes KU so different is that Bill Self is a perfecter of constantly improving himself from yesterday. And so the guys are the best there is in the industry, with a few exceptions. And the players and the teams get better and better. How do they do it? He goes, his competition was who he was yesterday. We got to get this a little bit better. But what a great example for all of us. Could be going, am I improving? Have I memorized more scriptures? Have I witnessed to more people? Have I financially invested more? Have I healed more? Have I led more people into speaking in tongues? This is the year. This is it. And I think when we start getting organized, that Yahweh and Christ are smelling us. It's called a sweet odor. We're obedient. It's roses and it's fresh baked bread. And when we're worried and stressed out, you stink, man. It's like a putrid trash. And I'm probably the worst one in here about it. I get reproved. Like, ah. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. This is the chapter of endurance and faith. This is Mount Rushmore for Americans. But this is a Mount Rushmore for Yahweh. Who are his heroes? And we get to see this. And none of these people knew their faces were going to be on this wall. My favorite out of all these, even though I really like Samson, is Abraham and Sarah, because it was a husband and a wife. Are there any other pairs like that mentioned? I don't know of. I know Rebecca is one of my favorites. I know about Hadassah with King Ahasuerus. I know about Ruth and Boaz, but what else do we know about them? This is a team, man. Abraham and Sarah, or Abraham. And if somebody would start reading verse 8, I'll tell you when to stop.
By faith, being called, Abraham obeyed to come forth into a place he was destined to receive for an inheritance. And he came forth not well knowing whither he was coming. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promises, a foreign land, in tents dwelling along with Isaac and Jacob, the joint heirs of the same promise. For he was awaiting the city, having foundations, whose architect and builder is Yahweh. By faith, even Sarah herself received power for founding a seed, even beyond the season of life's prime, seeing that faithful she reckoned him that had promised. Wherefore, even from one were born as to these things, one who had become dead, like the stars of the heavens for multitude, and as the sand that is at the lip of the sea, that cannot be numbered.
Can you imagine Yahweh's joy watching a 90-year-old woman breastfeeding? What a testimony for any... Whoa, those things still work? You're 90 years old. That is my kid. Yeah, prove it. Come over here, Isaac. Get some food. Because what a... And you're thinking about that. We look at their life and how many times if I... Do we think this? If I don't get what I want, I'm just going to quit. You got to give me something, man. And I think that's going to be... And he will give us stuff. But there's times that I got to get something. But Abraham, did he ever find the city?
No.
Huh? Was he content? Yahweh wrote about this. All right, we're not there yet. Okay, so what are we going to be doing today? Well, this is where we're living right for now. All right, here's our tent and here's this whole thing is. And we look at Abraham and Sarah, these heroes. And what I want to focus on them for just a second is because we want to know the future. We want to know, is it going to be worth it? We want to have an idea how things are going to pan out. If you just give me an idea that it's going to be like a big Jesus revolution, okay, then that's all I need. Just let me know the future a little bit, right? Just give me a little bit. That my kids are going to become the next astrophysicists, revolutions, or a Donald Trump. Yeah, all right, that's all I need. That's what we would think. Let me ask you this. Abraham and Sarah, they were told to have a child. How many years did they try and fail?
25 years when I had him.
25 years of failure. My brother and his sister-in-law tried and they had a child. I think it might have been a year. I don't know anything about that, but I heard it can be very stressful for a husband and wife trying to have a baby. And it wasn't their own idea. Somebody else's idea. Do you think they would want to know ahead of time? Oh, by the way, in the 25th year, but you gotta, be consistent. Just 25 years. 25 years, that's a lot of sex. Are you kidding me? Do you think they would want to know the future? Do you think they would want to know that?
No.
I bet, can you imagine the times Abraham going, Yahweh, will you just tell me what's going to happen? Yahweh's like, I love you too much, man. I love you more than you can imagine. I'm not going to hurt you. I was talking to somebody about scriptures and these other things, and I was witnessing these women in Iceland, and the woman says, well, why does it look like Yahweh does evil in the Old Testament? And I said, the scriptures aren't real clear, but what we do know is that Christ came to show manifest the adversary. And before Christ's ministry, We had no way to fight the adversary. And so Yahweh, it appears, takes credit for the wicked and the good because there's no way to fight. And then when Christ comes, he exposes that's from the adversary, that's from the adversary. He didn't say my father put anything on anything. So I was explaining it, and she said, well, why would he do that? And I said, you have kids? She said, yeah, I got 4 kids. How old are they? 3, 6, 9. We can tell them they're covered with skin mites. And their food's covered with parasites, like mites. We get a microscope out and show them all this bacteria that's living on them. In their ears, in their nose. And she looked at me and she's like, I said, is it true? The doctor that was next to the therapist, she goes, this is absolutely true. Exactly. Do we tell them? And the other mom goes, hell no. Are you kidding me? Nightmares forever. And you can imagine things we think we want to know, but then what is faith? Father, you know I'm on a need-to-know basis. You want joy from me. Thank you for helping me offload things at your altar. You could do the heavy things. Who am I to demand answers from the one who painted the rings around Saturn? Mm-hmm. There still knows all these stars. Hey, you got to explain some things to me. Hold on a second. I'm over here looking at the Milky Way. Aaron wants to know how peanut butter doesn't have this oil. But the thing was going to be also back to Abraham and Sarah. Would they want to have known that? Okay, let's take that a step farther. Would they want to know? Oh, yeah, by the way, when that boy is born after 25 years, you're going to have to offer him up as a sending sacrifice. What? You can imagine Abraham and Sarah looking at each other going,
hey, Abraham.
25 years had this kid, and then I'm going to be asked to offer him up. Yeah, that's the future. Would they want to know that? No. And all of us can reflect on our own lives in obedience. Now, there are things in our life that we would have wanted to know because we're being stupid. Or we made mistakes with good intentions. All of us have been guilty of that. Those things would be profitable. But there's things where we're being disciplined or we're going through necessary torture. Sometimes it can be torture. There's no other way. Christ did that in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, is there any other way? Sorry, man. There's no other way. And all of us have had to endure some of those things. We don't want to necessarily know the future. And so then we're going to kind of... we've got one scripture out there. We're going to reflect on strooms. We won't read the whole thing. Just a highlighted part. But it is our ignorance of futurity. Our ignorance of wanting to know the future. And it is a really good thing to ruminate on. To read it and reread it and reread it. And I'm encouraging everybody to take a look at it. Because you read this and go, how many times I have to know the future? Is it going to be worth it? But I look at my own life. If Yahweh would have told me I'd be single for 13 years. That's it! I quit! I'm going to go do it on my own! I don't want to be alone. But that's what I would have thought. But what has he done? 13 years, I've gotten to travel the world, helped so many people. My ministries, I've become so much holier to our Father. So I'm grateful, and all of us can relate to that. But if somebody would just read the highlighted part. Mom, why don't you read that?
He knew the strength.
Okay, you don't have the whole, so the top part too.
If we are ignorant of future events, we must not seek the cause of it merely in the nature of our souls, the faculties and knowledge of which were very limited, but also in the express and infinitely wise purpose of the Creator. He knew the strength of man, and he would not give him more knowledge than he was able to hear.
Bear.
Knowledge is to the soul what light of the sun is to the eyes. Too great a degree of splendor would prove injurious without being useful. It would be very dangerous to the virtue of man if he had the faculty of foreseeing what was about to happen to him.
That's just the introduction. Going to go, does he have the ability? Yeah, but it's going to hurt you. And his son and he paid too great a price to be hurting his children. There's too much work to be done. There's going to be a lot of unanswered questions. That's okay. But if he spared not his only son, what will he give you? What do you need in your life? Matthew 7:7, be seeking, be asking, be knocking. Which one among you asks for bread, a child asks for bread, and you give him a stone? What are you asking for? And are you a righteous believer sowing? How much more? That's faith. Then we take that, and as we do that, we start getting our balance back. And we're going, if you are doing your job, you're being persecuted. If you are doing your job, you're hated. Because if the world likes you, then you're not doing your job. Christ goes, look, this is a wicked world, and we're supposed to be shining a light. Ephesians, I think it's Colossians, when you turn on the light, people want to kill you. Because your light shows all their sins. Here's all these people watching pornography and all kinds of things in front of their kids. You turn on the light and everybody sees what they're doing. Ah, it's like looking at their history of their internet. Ah! They don't like it. But if you are doing your job, you're going to get weighed down. You're going to start getting crushed. Because he's asking you to do things that are impossible. How do we not get crushed? We'll close at Philippians 4:4. The answer is in the scriptures. So when you start getting crushed, Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing the spoken words. So you take the scriptures, the medication, these are the prescriptions. How do you take them? It's an oral medication. Actually, it is not an oral medication. It would be through your ears. How you would say that? I don't know how to say that.
Audio.
It's an audio. Okay, audio. It's an audio medication. It comes through your ears, but it's got to come out your mouth. Your mouth. No, not other people, not hearing other things. Something happens. Our Father designed us. He goes, you say it. And Mark 11 says, say it like you mean it. And if you're not saying it like you mean it, I'm just saying it's not working. James says you're really upsetting him. You're actually doing just the opposite. Make yourself say it. Act like you're going to do it. If you received it, how would you say it? And then here's what he tells you to do. If somebody would read 4:4 through 7.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your considerateness be known unto all men. The Lord is near. For nothing be anxious, but in everything, by your prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known unto Yahweh. And the peace of Yahweh, which rises above every mind, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Yahushua.
And so what's real important, we're familiar with that. But we're going to apply Philippians 4:4 to the night that Christ was washing your feet. You know, he sang a song. Let's sing a song. You don't want to sing a song when you're stressed out. Let's just kind of get things going. I got a lot on my mind. Oh, you got a lot on your mind. What's going on, Yehoshua? I got a lot on my mind. He sang a song. Rejoice in Yahweh. Again, I say rejoice. Number one. Are you being crushed? Rejoice. What's number two? Again. Let your considerateness. When you are being crushed, you are selfish. Help! 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 Get away from me! I'm first! Let your considerateness be made known to all men. What was Christ doing? He was being crushed, guys. He washes their feet. And he hears them. And he reproves Peter. Come on, Peter. Do it. You're not washing my feet. If I don't wash your feet, you can have no part of it. All right. Wash my hands, my face, and everything. Do a good job, though. And here he is. Is that considerate? And Christ was considerate. Considered me to know the old man. What's the next part? Rejoice in the Lord.
The Lord is near.
The Lord is near. Here's our, what does that mean? In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, this whole thing's going to be over. Christ, when's he coming back? We don't know. Just like that. How long are we going to live? We don't know. And then let your supplications be made known. And how do you make them? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And if you really want to deliver yourself, just start praising him and get specific on things he's done. And there'll be times that I'll come in a crushing moment where I'm being crushed, trying to be obedient. And then I just start thanking him for certain things about the trees and these birds. And how do the birds know how to fly? And they sing and they got feathers. And all of a sudden, as I'm giving them glory, I completely forgot. Oh yeah, I was stressed out about something. There's something about that. But we can be just like our Lord and our Savior, that perfect balance of not stressing out, enjoying the bread today, but working hard with the promises of tomorrow. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your son lives inside of us. And we thank you that all of us have an opportunity to be an advertisement, a trailer. Just as we're seeing trailers to the movie Jesus Revolution, so can we give people a trailer who you are and your son are, is, and what their life could be. And we can invite them into your family if they want. Father, we thank you. You give us the full armor of Yahweh, of God, to strap on. You tell us to be ready to duck, be ready to, that when people throw things at us, we shouldn't be offended or shocked. We should laugh and say, "Hi, what a bad arm." And Father, we just thank you for these words. Do not be fearful of tomorrow, but be fearful of me and have reverence of me, of who I am. And when you find yourself stressed, ask yourself, how much of the scriptures have you memorized and meditated on? That is fear of me, because I am your creator, and the breath that is in your lungs belongs to me. And I have exalted my own word above myself, and I've shown you how valuable it is. And if you feared me, you would meditate on my promises in these words. And what will happen if you do so, you will become an image of me, and you will deliver yourself from your own snares that you are in. For I am a loving father, and I know what you're going through, but I do demand obedience. But it is through your obedience that you will be answering your own prayers.